this loaf of bread, this bicycle horn,
fun,
this whoopee cushion, this potato. Who doesn't love mashed potatoes?
Try DirecTV Now for $10 a month for 3 months. No satellite needed.
Use code YESNOW3 at DirecTVNOW.com. Limited time. Compatible device required and sold separately. Price after instant discount on $35 a month package. Renews monthly at full price unless canceled. Prices may change. New subscribers only. Cancel anytime. Restrictions apply. Details at DirecTVNOW.com.
Can a little pinstripe bowl magic carry over for the Iowa men? We're about to find out. 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
First and foremost, you know, our effort's got to be, you know, at 100 numbers, I think it will be. And I think regardless of who we play, if we execute our game plan and come out and play to our full potential in terms of, you know, our effort, our energy, and, you know, making winning plays, I'm confident in our chances against anybody.
Got to make use of that Tyler Cook audio while it's laying around. 405, welcome in the Todd Brommelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on all three KGYM frequencies, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. This is a Wednesday edition of the show, and it is hard to believe, but if you've listened the last two nights, you may find this a little incredulous. We're on all three frequencies for all 3 hours tonight, going to 7 o'clock. I do have that correct, right?
You have that correct. No hindrances.
First full show of the week. I like that. I could, you know, it's kind of nice to leave here when it's still a little light out the last couple nights.
It is. And it's just a weird time of year for the next few weeks.
The Hawkeyes and the Fighting Illini getting ready to tip off at Madison Square Garden coming up at the bottom of the hour. That game will obviously be running concurrently with us, so it's going to be a little bit difficult to engage many Iowa fans unless you're watching the game and maybe listening along with us. I've never been a big fan of doing play-by-play off of the TV. As a matter of fact,
I can do it if you want me to.
Well, yeah.
I think that's against the person who
got me into this business was not a fan of that either. And so it's hard because it's going on and it's what people are interested in and it's what they want to talk about. And at the same time, if I'm staring at the TV the entire time, my focus isn't on the show and what I'm saying, and I can't be pulled in two different directions. So we'll comment on big events as they happen at Madison Square Garden. And judging by the looks of the attendance, this doesn't qualify as a big event in New York City. Go figure. We've had our fun with that this week. If you've missed the first two shows this week, you can always download the podcast at kgymradio.com. Good show for you today. I promise you, I wouldn't let Hayden Fry down. It's his 89th birthday today. I'm sure he's listening in on kgymradio.com all the way out in Mesquite, Nevada. Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, will be with us at the bottom of the hour. Gary is in St. Louis, as are the Panthers. They're taking on Evansville tomorrow night, the very first game of their conference tournament. Arch Madness getting underway tomorrow in St. Louis. We'll find out where Gary is dining tonight. We called that something. Gary's Missouri Valley Eats or something. We had a name for it. I can't remember.
I think we've called it something different each time, yeah. But it can't be something that it's not something we should overthink.
This show is, if it's one thing, it's maddeningly inconsistent, and I will own that. We'll come up,
and condescending, right?
We'll settle with something just in time to drop Gary off at the end of the season, and then we'll pick him back up for football. Dargan Southern of the Iowa City Press Citizen is going to be with us at 5 o'clock tonight as well. Dargan is covering not only the Iowa women, who are going to be in action tomorrow at the Women's Big Ten Tournament in Indianapolis, but Iowa baseball, picking up a nice victory yesterday in the home opener at Duane Banks Field. We mentioned this on Tuesday's show. You could not have asked for a better day. I know the forecast we're going to take a little bit of a step back over the next coming days. Today is another very nice day. You could have played baseball today at Duane Banks Field if you wanted to.
We're going to have some really good weather over the weekend, though. Not quite as good as yesterday, but it's supposed to be nice this week.
I'm excited about this weekend, and I know we've got a lot of WWE fans who are excited as well, because Sunday at 5 o'clock, the Road to WrestleMania runs through the U.S. Cellular Center in downtown Cedar Rapids. We've got a pair of tickets for that event. You're going to win them on the 6 o'clock showdown tonight. 7 questions in 60 seconds. Great card. I've said this before. I think it's one of the best shows WWE has put in Cedar Rapids in quite some time, at least as far as house shows go. We're going to be talking with Becky Lynch on the program tomorrow. Not the female superstar that I was hoping to have, but a very nice consolation prize nonetheless. She's quite fantastic, quite popular, and we're looking forward to chatting with her. And hopefully we'll still be talking about Iowa basketball this time tomorrow, but that remains to be seen. The Illini and the Hawkeyes met once during the regular season. It was a very memorable game in Champaign at the State Farm Center. It went overtime. The Hawkeyes broke the 100-point barrier and broke back into the win column. Unfortunately, I think they only won 2 other Big Ten games after that win, if I recall correctly off the top of my head. Can they beat the Illini again today and extend their season into the month of March? 319-366-1600.
I first want to announce that I will be in attendance for the WWE.
This shocks me.
Road to WrestleMania event. And I'm not going to name which one it was, but there was a national sports talk show host that convinced me, not personally, but also not a WWE fan, went to a WWE event and said it's worthwhile. So I will be in attendance on Sunday. But you have to think that Illinois will be not necessarily be out for blood, but they were up 54-41 at the half. They scored 54 points in the first half at the State Farm Center in Champaign. The first time these two teams met and completely fell apart down the stretch. And they're a much better team than they showed that night, giving up 104 points on their home floor to the Iowa Hawkeyes. So I know the point spread is at 1.5 in the in favor of Illinois.
Yes.
I'd be inclined to take the Fighting Illini. I'm just anxious to see which team wants to be there more, because isn't it amazing, Todd? Every time we talk about some kind of postseason event in New York, we're talking about the same thing. Which team wants to be there more? Sounds like a repeat of the Pinstripe Bowl talk from earlier this year.
Yeah, but the Hawks won.
But
the Pinstripe
Hawkeyes
Bowl.
Won that game. So maybe conventional wisdom doesn't work in this case. But how much is left in the tank for this Iowa team?
Not a whole lot would be right off the top of my head what I can offer you there. And conventional wisdom, speaking of, says Iowa's going to lose today, because since they won this tournament the last time in 2006, Iowa is 2-11 in Big Ten tournament play. In the last 4 years, they've lost their first game to a double-digit seed. Now, Iowa also this year is a double-digit seed, so it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world. But as Chad Lystico at the Des Moines Register pointed out in a piece, I believe last night or this morning, I don't know when it was posted, but there's sort of a different malady that hurt Iowa in each one of those last 4 games, but there is a common thread, and it's opponents lighting them up from beyond the arc. And you can look at this right here on the paper in front of me. I have Underwood written down in front of me. Every time I talk about Brad Underwood, I'm tempted to say Brad Underhill, because I think of the Underhills in the movie Fletch. So I have to write his name down and put it in front of me. That is the level of simpleton that I am. I have to look down at the paper to make sure that I'm saying the coach's name properly. But Brad Underwood is trying to build that Illinois program. This is a big game for them. they've got nothing really to play for other than to try to give them a little bit of momentum going into next season and rebuilding the program. It's not a rebuild for Fran McCaffrey in year number 8. So my gut, everything about this game, history, which team I think wants it more, not to say that the Hawkeyes don't want to win today, but everything is pointing me in the direction of Illinois winning this contest. And oh, by the way, one of the three officials working said game today, Bo Borowski, who is oil to Fran McCaffrey's water.
I was going
to
say, upon Fran's request, probably not.
Brendan Quinn, who covers the University of Michigan and Michigan State for The Athletic, just tweeted out a picture of Madison Square Garden.
So did Mike Colas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette.
It's, yeah. You know, what are the Colonels open April 7th, and I'm trying to figure out whether there will be more people in attendance on opening day at Veterans Memorial Stadium outside in the cold than there are indoors at Madison Square Garden right now. But hey, maybe the lack of atmosphere will inspire the Hawkeyes. Maybe it'll
over
feel like Carver Hawkeye Arena at times.
Over under 1,500 people there.
Right actual?
Now. Actual. Right at?
Over. I'll take over. They may hit 2,000. 319-366-1600. I didn't mean to imply that Becky Lynch was Miss Congeniality by the runner-up. I was just wanted to talk to Charlotte Flair and Randy Orton. Those were my two fingers crossed. Didn't get an Uso, so we got that going for us. We've had Big E on the program before. I know Hawkeye football fans are excited. New Day is a part of the card, so Ittore Ewan, the former Hawkeye football player, returning to the U.S. Cellular Center, and those guys are fantastic. They work great in the ring together. I'm excited that you are going to wrestling, because that is a very uncoon-like. And Kyle's going. I'm the only one here who's not going. I have a prior commitment on Sunday night. I gave my word to Jack Dom that I would once again emcee the Mount Mercy baseball dinner, as I've done for the last couple years. Otherwise, I'd be there at the Cell Center as well, hopefully not getting beer spilled on me. But the tickets that I had weren't in the front row this time, so I think I would have been okay. I probably would have been able to remain dry.
I heard the front row of seats last time were quite an experience.
There was a guy there, I think he was in a Mets jersey, and I don't know whether he was a plant from WWE, but...
Was he a part of the show?
He thought he was. It was a fun night. It would have been a really fun night had I not, during the very first match, had my own beer dumped on me. It was an accident, but then I sat there for the remainder of the night and soaked in beer.
So it wasn't...
Kind of took me back to my college days.
It wasn't the person sitting next to you riling up some of the performers and having them come over spill beer on you guys.
No.
Okay, just this making was, sure.
Somebody came over the railing and right into our laps. We got a World Cup fan on the Hertin and Stocker text line that thinks Iowa is going to win this game by 8. Fingers crossed on that World Cup, by the way. Sounding as if the United States, Canada, and Mexico are trying to get the World Cup, right? A cooperative,
yes.
NAFTA-esque, and is it Morocco? There's a country that's coming in, and it's looking like its bid may wind up preventing the U.S. from hosting some of the World Cup.
I'm sure there's nothing nefarious at all about that.
I know we're done with the Olympic updates as we're getting ready for, speaking of updates, Kyle will be with us here in a few minutes for his big board. I know we're done with the Olympic updates. People are moving on from Pyeongchang. And apparently they had moved on during the games because the ratings were absolutely terrible in the United States. Down 17% from the Winter Games in Sochi. The lowest rated Olympics ever. And it got me thinking. I saw this and I thought, okay, everybody made a big to-do about the NFL ratings. Many of the NFL ratings were down this year. But then NASCAR, which is a red-blooded American, sort of the anti-NFL, when you look at it through the red-blue spectrum, NASCAR ratings have been down.
Just ratings in general
and now
are down.
And I'm starting to think, you know, maybe.
There's a theme here.
maybe there's a theme here. And I know it's difficult to gauge how people consume media in 2018. But I'm starting to think there's maybe something bigger here at play.
Well, it's really not that difficult.
The Winter Olympics just really stink.
Whoa.
And people here don't care about them.
I wouldn't say anything so blasphemous like that. But no,
they did not get the curling bump as many people expected.
No curling bump, no NHL players. I don't know how much that factored into it, and the coverage at times by NBC was pretty spotty, and I think that has something to do with it. But yeah, people are cord cutting. That's something that has really come into play, and until we're able to find a better way to judge how people are viewing or consuming media, as you said, then we're going to see ratings continue to go down. If the only way to judge how people are consuming media is through television and cable, then yes, of course, everybody's ratings are going to be down.
This is fantastic. Mike Halas from the Cedar Rapids Gazette just tweeted out the in-game live stat link from Madison Square Garden. This is something that the folks on Press Row have so that we can watch the scoring in real time. It has the Iowa and Illinois logos there. Big Ten men's basketball tournament at the top. Next to the Illinois logo, Seton Hall. Next to the Iowa logo, St. John's. Who had the better year this year, St. John's or Seton Hall?
Seton Hall.
Okay, well, there's another omen. Not that anybody's counting.
By a lot.
Even the folks at Madison Square Garden are just using this as a test run for the Big East tournament next week. 319-366-1600, that is the Hertin and Stocker text line.
And they have all the players from both of those teams loaded into the system.
I was just going to say, it looks like the game is over already.
Whoops.
40 minutes and 22 points for Carrington, for Seton Hall. Doesn't play for Illinois.
I'm pretty sure Illinois wishes that it had Angel Delgado.
Both
from
of these
Seton
teams
Hall on that team.
Both of these teams wish they had some of that talent. The Iowa women, as we mentioned, in Indianapolis, they've got the Big Ten. This is the other thing that really stinks about the Big Ten tournament being moved back to this week. They had to play it a week early, the men's tournament, because the Big East owns Madison Square Garden that last week of tournament play going into the NCAA tournament. You used to have the women's tournament going on as the men were wrapping up the regular season. You could watch most of the women's games on the Big Ten Network. Now they're overlapping. The women are playing at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. The Iowa women will start tomorrow. They did get a bye out of the gate. They had to watch today's Wisconsin-Northwestern game. Northwestern was tested by the Badgers, but the 12-seeded Wildcats pulled away. So Iowa, which is the 5-seed in the women's tournament, will play Northwestern, the 12-seed, tomorrow at roughly 1:30 Central Time. So for those of you who are fans of Lisa Bluter and the Iowa women, that game will be played immediately after the Rutgers-Purdue women's game. And for those of you who may not know, Rutgers on the women's side a little bit better than the men's side, although C. Vivian Stringer's teams have been struggling of late. Rutgers is the 9-seed and Purdue the 8-seed. So Lisa Bluter and the Iowa women will get things kicked off tomorrow. The Iowa men getting ready to tip off coming up in about 10 minutes.
Todd, Roger Sherman of The Ringer has pointed out how much tickets for the doubleheader today at Madison Square Garden will cost you.
Doubleheader, two college games, New York City. I have not seen this. I'm going to guess $40.
$1.50. You could get into Madison Square Garden.
No. You're kidding.
For $1.50. And
what the hell are you people still doing here in Eastern Iowa? You could have caught in. You could go watch college basketball at Madison Square Garden for $1.50. Of course, it's going to cost you $1,000 to get there and spend the night in a hotel. But hey, you make it up on the back end with a $1.50 ticket. That's a nosebleed, though, right?
Yes, but they have general admission for these first couple games, and they're reaching as high as $3.
So for $3 general admission, I can go get the Charles Oakley seats at the
Garden?
Yep,
two games.
Why am I here?
Because I'm pretty sure that they are they have cut off the nosebleed seats. That's what they did for the NIT. The upper deck was closed, so I'm pretty sure it's just the lower bowl. So tickets in the lower bowl for both games, $3 a piece.
We've got some NFL news to get to today as well. The Bears have officially parted ways with Mike Glennon 1 year into that $45 million contract that they gave him, and a high-profile WWE, or I should say high-profile NFL star, says no to the WWE. We will not be seeing Rob Gronkowski at the U.S. Cellular Center anytime soon. 424. We're going to take a quick timeout. I'll take a peek at the Hertin & Stocker text line. Hertin & Stocker, over 70 years as Iowa City's most trusted jeweler. They sponsor the text line, 319-366-1600. Feel free to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids as we go the full 3 hours tonight on all three frequencies. Fantastic. Back with more after this.
For all those times you wish you would have known.
Hey, nice look, Kevin. Your shirt's on inside out.
Yeah, that coupon expired a week ago.
Of course it did.
But Dad, school pictures are today.
All right, back upstairs then.
Sorry, we closed at 4.
Really? Come on.
In a world fraught with fraud, Dupaco Community Credit Union is on a mission to protect your identity, your credit, and your financial position. That's why we offer simple, effective tools for helping you to stay in the know about your account activity, credit score, and more. And they're absolutely free for all Dupaco members.
So, now I know.
Access your credit monitoring tools anytime through Dupaco's online banking or app. Not a Dupaco member? Join today in branch or online at dupaco.com. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
You could win $500 in the I'm On Communications KGYM Bracket Challenge. Get details now at kgymradio.com. I'm On Communications, your local choice for internet, cable TV, and phone.
You cool if we just watch cartoons? Because I can't find the game right now.
I'm fine with that.
I'll find it. It's on the BTN.
Probably costs more to watch it on TV than it does to go to it.
Starters for the Hawkeyes, Luka Garza at center, Jack Nungy and Tyler Cook at the forward positions, and Isaiah Moss and Jordan Bohannon. We'll start at the guard positions. No surprise there. Hawkeyes and Fighting Illini getting ready to tip off at Madison Square Garden, where, yes, it does look like an Oakland A's game. They have tarped off the entire upper bowl of Madison Square Garden. General admission. Hawkeyes, Fighting Illini, catch the fever. Speaking of catching things, time for you to catch a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one, is Kyle.
The Iowa men are trying to get a little taste of March basketball, and in order to do that, they'll need to beat Illinois today at the Big Ten tournament in New York. It's going to be an early tip here in just a few minutes, so they'll be getting started shortly, and we'll get you updated throughout the course of the show. Failing to advance past the Illini would mean the Hawkeyes don't play in March for the first time since 1938. Iowa baseball routed Cornell College yesterday 15-1. Freshman Trenton Wallace got the win in his first career start, going 3 innings with 4 strikeouts and no runs allowed. 7 of the 9 Hawkeye starters had hits, 8 of them scored runs, and 4 guys had multiple RBI. Justin Jenkins and Lorenzo Elian had 3, and Tyler Cropley and Brett McCleary had 2. Former Iowa receiver Don Shumpert was a grad assistant on the football staff last season, but he tweeted this morning that this would be his last day with the program as he moves on to be an offensive assistant with the New York Giants. Iowa State couldn't get a win for its 3 seniors on senior night last night, falling to Oklahoma State 80-71. Donovan Jackson hit 5 threes in his final game at Hilton Coliseum on his way to 17 points with 5 boards and 4 assists. And Lindahl Wigginton had a team-high 20, but a shorthanded Cyclone squad could never pull within striking distance. The Iowa State women went on the road and beat Kansas, though, 65-56. Bridget Carlton had 17, 7-7, while Emily Durr had a game-high 27. And tonight after the show, if you can believe it, there's no high school basketball, so keep it here as we throw it to ESPN National Programming.
Donovan Jackson revealed that he lived in 23 homes before getting to Iowa State. What an amazing journey.
Wow.
Cyclones playing out the string just as the Hawkeyes are. We've got the game on. We're going to talk you and I basketball, though. Gary Rima, the play-by-play voice of the Panthers, joins us from St. Louis. Arch Madness kicks off tomorrow. Back after this.
So this house is in a great neighborhood and walking distance from one of the best schools.
And what are they asking?
The asking price is only 24 years of really, really hard work.
Wow, that sounds like a lot.
Well, the house across the road just sold for a few years more.
While other insurance companies just see a house, we see the home you've worked really hard for, so why not give it the protection it deserves?
Tell you what, why don't we offer 23 years with a fast close?
We're gonna need to sleep on it.
Yeah.
State Farm. Call an agent today.
Dear Glovebox Granola Bar, I bit off more than I can chew. It's been months and things are starting to get a little stale. Sure, you're there when I need you, but do I even want you? You're completely nuts. And a few dried raisins. I'm done reaching for you in desperation. And all signs are pointing to special sauce.
Let others know you've rediscovered your love for the undeniably craveable Big Mac. And for a limited time, try the Mac Jr. and the Grand Big Mac, all with that irresistible special sauce. At participating McDonald's.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. This is what you need to know. Arizona may soon make a decision on the status of men's basketball coach Sean Miller. Board of Regents will hold a meeting tomorrow to discuss Miller's fate. He hasn't coached since the release of an ESPN report tying him to an alleged conversation about arranging payments to a player. Miller has disputed that report. NBA, Rockets seek to run their winning streak to 14 straight when they visit the Clippers tonight. First meeting between the teams since some Houston players tried to get into L.A.'s locker room after the January 15th loss. The game 10:30 Eastern, ESPN-TV. QB Kirk Cousins, top NFL free agent on the market. Few teams are interested. He's in line for a big payday, but money's not the only factor determining where Cousins signs, explains ESPN's Adam Schefter.
I think the New York Jets will be the most aggressive team out there for Kirk Cousins. I think the Vikings offer him the best overall situation. Now, what he wants and what he's looking for, the way that I know him, he's going to want to be in a situation where he can win and where he's going to be the guy, where people can count on him.
Adam Schefter on Golic and Wingo.
You know, when something's so obvious, they call it a no-brainer? Well, here's a big one. Barbasol is finally making razors. Introducing the Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus. It's got six ultra-thin blades for a close, comfortable shave. You can go to Barbasol.com right now and save some money. That's a no-brainer, too.
It's award season, specifically John R. Wooden Award season. And Windy celebrates the fresh crop of finalists for this year's trophy. But who will win the award? Will it be Michigan State's Miles Bridges? Sophomore swingman has his sights set on a national title. Will it be Duke forward Marvin Bagley III, who leads his team in points and boards? What about Trae Young? Has anyone been as dominant as Oklahoma's freshman guard? This should be a fun race to watch. The John R. Wooden Award is presented by Wendy's.
For a limited time, Wendy's Quarter Pound Double Stack is just $1. That's right, a tasty two-story tower of melty cheese made with fresh, never-frozen beef for just $1. And since Wendy's Double Stack has a whole quarter pound of beef, it's the best double cheeseburger you can get for just $1. But a deal this big doesn't come around every day. So get a quarter pound double stack at Wendy's, because it won't be a dollar forever.
Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada at participating Wendy's.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right?
Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now. Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Imagine you're given a new car of your choice. There's only one catch. This is the last car you're ever going to get in your life. You would baby that car. Well, you don't just get one car in your life. you get one mind and one body. And it's what you do today that determines how your mind and body operates years from now.
You have one body. Take care of it. Know more about you and your DNA. Order your 23andMe kit today at 23andme.com.
4:35, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Plenty to get to today. We're going to chat a little Hawkeye baseball and the Iowa women with Dargan Souther of the Iowa City Press-Citizen. He'll be with us in hour number two. The Iowa men tipping off right now at Madison Square Garden. They're taking on Illinois. We'll see whether the Hawkeyes live to see the month of March. And speaking of March Madness and postseason basketball, we've got the voice of the UNI Panthers with us right now. He's on his way to Arch Madness in St. Louis. You and I draw in Evansville Thursday at 6 o'clock. It's Gary Rima. And Gary, we missed you last week, but Kyle Green joined the program and filled in quite admirably. He said he was really nervous. He knew he had big shoes to fill, but we both think he pulled it off.
Oh, man, I'd have great confidence in Kyle to do a great job. So glad you got him on to talk some UNI basketball. And how about his son, A.J. Green, lighting it up last night in a sub-state game to get Cedar Falls High School to state. He'll wear the purple and gold of UNI next year. And I know the program really excited for A.J. to join this team with, you know, the likes of Taiwan Pickford, who's, you know, all MVC newcomer, all freshman team. You get those guys together with Austin Fife and Lowhouse coming back. And I think the future looks good for UNI basketball, even though this has been a bit of a tough year and we're not in the greatest of spots. Opening up Missouri Valley Conference postseason tournament play tomorrow, not really where we wanted to be entering the tournament, but we'll see what happens starting tomorrow night. But Kyle's, I tell you what, got promoted to associate head coach earlier this year. Well-deserved honor for that guy, and we're excited to have his son be a Panther next year.
Yeah, we talked with him a little bit about AJ, and you mentioned the program excited about him coming in. Their program's excited to bring in a little momentum with them to St. Louis, winning the last two games. We haven't talked with you since the wins over Valparaiso and Missouri State. You get the sense that there's a little bit of a push here as they go to St. Louis.
Well, I really think there is, Todd. I mean, I think this team feels better about itself than it has for quite a while during the Valley season. Getting that first road win, I thought, was big. It just got a monkey off the back of these guys because they had been hearing it from family and friends and, you know, classmates, whatever, talking about unable to get a road win. And, you know, come on, you've got to go get a road win. And tell you what, Valpo is not an easy place to play. And there's some good teams in our league went into Valparaiso this year and could not leave there with a victory. So, you know, it was their senior day. They had a couple of outstanding seniors that Valpo wanted to chalk up a win for them and send them out on a high note. And the Panthers went in there and spoiled the party. But Bennett Cook was outstanding in that game. Bennett was just, they had no answer for him. And then late, he sprains his ankle. He still gets his 1,000th point of his career. So, memorable game for him. So that was big, and I think that helped get us going on Saturday for our senior day with Missouri State coming in there. The Bears are a really talented team. I just wish I knew what was going on with that team. It must be some internal strife or something, but they've got a lot of talent. Alizé Johnson, preseason player of the year, and he was not named the postseason player of the year, I don't think. I got to believe it's going to be Clayton Custer from Loyola. We don't know. We won't know that until later. But he's an excellent player. And for us to beat them the way we did, just really an impressive win coming to the thing. You know, I just think we got a tough draw with Evansville, but I think we're coming to this tournament feeling as good as you possibly can, coming off a road win and then a home senior day win. Did it without Bennett Cook, and he'll be ready to go tomorrow. So I think we're in as good a spot as you can possibly be coming into this tournament as far as how you're feeling about your team and having to carry the 9 seed into the tournament.
Well, let's talk about the draw for just 1 second. And you mentioned earlier that it's a tough one, and this this field is very wide open, but could they have asked for a more brutal draw if they try getting Evansville in the first round, and then if they win, they got to go take on the number one seed in Loyola.
Yeah, Alex, would a much, if you're going to play on Thursday, the best draw for Thursday is to be in the 7-10 game for a couple of reasons. If you're the seventh seed and the Panthers were just 10 RPI points shy of getting the seventh seed, if you're in that 7-10 game, you're playing the 10th place team in the league. Plus, if you win that game on Thursday, you don't have to play until 6 o'clock on Friday. You get the 2 seed who just got beat by Evansville 75-44. That's not a bad route if you got to play on Thursday, but with the Panthers catching Evansville, a team that just absolutely destroyed the number 2 seeded team this last Saturday at home in Evansville, beating SIU, you got to somehow get by them, and then you got to play right away at noon again on Friday. It's just such a quick turnaround. I mean, you don't get out of the arena until after almost 9 o'clock, and you get back to your hotel, you get something to eat. Next thing you know, you're getting up for a noon tip-off against the best team in the league. And Loyola certainly is beatable, but they have proven that they're a little bit better than everybody else, at least through the conference season, with the way they ran through the league with a 15-3 record. They've got a sub-50 RPI. A lot of seniors, so it is. It's a tough draw when you've got to play that 8-9 game and then turn around and play at noon on Friday if you can win Thursday night.
Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, joining us. UNI in Evansville, tipping off tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And my question for you is quite simple with this matchup. Is it going to be more interesting than the last time these two teams played, that low-scoring, grind-it-out, put-you-to-sleep type of affair?
Well, you know what?
That didn't sound very encouraging.
I wish I could tell you it was going to be an 80-75 type game, a high scoring, up and down, fast pace, but it won't be. It'll be a grinded out half court game. Part of it is because Evansville likes to play that way. And if you remember when you and I beat them 47-41 in the McLeod Center in the last meeting, we had them down double digits, Todd, and they didn't change their approach at all. They still took a lot of time in their half court offense, and you know, they'd get down under 10 seconds on the shot clock before they finally got the shot they were looking for. So I don't think the game will be in the 40s, but it certainly could be somewhere in the upper 50s. Maybe we get to 60. I'd say first team to 60 definitely wins that game tomorrow, but it will not be a high tempo, high scoring game. I can almost guarantee you that.
All right, Gary, let's think positive thoughts for a second. Let's just say hypothetically that UNI makes a run and wins a few games, possibly gets to the championship game of the MVC tournament this weekend. How likely is it that next Wednesday we're going to be talking about Clint Carlson regaining some of his elimination game magic?
I'd like to think that could certainly happen for this team. It just, Clint's one of the guys that has to play really good, Alex. We need a big tournament out of him. He's played some of his best basketball as a Panther at this tournament, and with it being, you know, his final go-around, his swan song, you got to hope that him and Bennett Cook and Hunter Rhodes and even Ted Friedman, who's given Coach some good minutes in recent games, those four seniors just try and take it to another level and see if they can't catch a little lightning in the bottle this weekend and pull off some upsets and make a deep run. But, Clint's going to have to play really well. I don't know if we can string 2, 3, 4 wins together. I'm not sure we can beat Evansville tomorrow if Clint Carlson doesn't bring it, and not just offensively, but his defense, his rebounding, his leadership. This is a really, really tough Evansville team to guard with the offense that they play, and you need that guy like Clint Carlson, the senior on the floor, to help get guys in the right place and keep everybody focused at the task at hand.
And take a look at the rest of the bracket. Drake and Bradley meet in the 4-5 game. That's a possible matchup for UNI as it moves through the tournament. And then Number 3 seed Illinois State, number 6 Indiana State. Between Illinois State and Indiana State and Drake Bradley, which one's the more intriguing game in your mind?
I think the Drake Bradley game in that 4-5 matchup, because I think whoever comes out of that 4-5 game could be a very dangerous team in the semifinals. Reed Timmer is just he's a senior that's on a mission this year. That he's an excellent player. First team all MVC selection. I think whoever comes out of that game's got a shot to get to the finals. They're both really, really good teams. Bradley, they've shown signs this year at times of challenging anybody in the league, including Loyola. So I like that 4-5 matchup game. I think Illinois State is the better team than Indiana State. Illinois State is another team that, with the talent that they have, when they put it together, they're as good as any team in the league. And they proved that in some of their games this year and ended up with the 3 seed. So I like that Drake-Bradley matchup. I can't wait to watch that 4-5 game on Friday.
Now, I think back to last year where Illinois State was on the outside looking in come Selection Sunday, and they only had 2 losses in league, both of them to Wichita State, only one during the regular season. The other came in the championship game of Arch Madness. Is the recipe simple for Loyola? They have to win to get in the tournament. If they don't, they're headed to the NIT?
Yeah, I think you can say that's probably 90%. A done deal. I just don't think we can get an at-large, and it's really too bad, Alex, because this is the 8th-ranked best conference in the nation in 30-plus Division I leagues, and I think if you look back at the history of Division I basketball, just say go back 25 years and look at the conference that was ranked the 8th-best conference in the nation, I got a feeling they got 2 teams in, at least 2. They got their regular season champion, probably made it if they didn't win their automatic bid, plus their automatic bid team. So I think this league, I know the league doesn't appear to be great, but Loyola's had a really good year. I mean, when you're talking, you know, 25 wins and you win this league by 3 games and you've got a right around a 50 or sub 50 RPI, if they made it to the championship game and then somebody upset them and knocked them off, you'd like to think they got it. They're at least in the conversation and they're on the bubble. And it's going to depend a lot on what happens in all of the other conferences, some of the one bid stuff and how many Big Ten and Big 12 teams they decide to take. But you'd like to think that Loyola, if they've got, I think they got to win a game or two here in the tournament to stay in the conversation. But it just feels like for all 10 teams that are here, the only way you do get to the NCAA as if you win this tournament and get the automatic berth.
Gary Rima joining us, the UNI play-by-play man on his way to St. Louis for Arch Madness. The question is, how many Panther fans are going to be making the trip to St. Louis, at least for this first game tomorrow?
You know what? I'm going to be as interested to see that, Todd, as anything, just because I know there's been some disappointment this year. I hear it from the fan base, and nobody wanted to have to play on Thursday. And I know there's some people with tickets that are hoping that we get the win tomorrow so they can then come down on Friday and join the team for that noon game. But we'll get some fans here. There's some of them that are making their way down tonight, and some will come tomorrow. But I think we lost probably some of the people that would have come if we would have been somewhere between the 1 and 6 seed and didn't have to play till Friday. So I've been to the Thursday round before, and really it's tough to draw a decent crowd for those Thursday games. Just for a lot of people, it's because of work responsibilities or whatever. So the atmosphere is just so on Thursday. But if you can get to Friday, then it starts to build. And if you can somehow get to Saturday, it gets even bigger. And then Sunday's just really a special day here in St. Louis at the MVC championship game. So let's hope the Panthers can string some together, and we'll be talking about them next week, about just a tremendous run and something that nobody has ever done in the Missouri Valley Conference postseason tournament. Nobody's played on Thursday in the opening round games and made it past the semifinals, and only one team has ever accomplished that. So if the Panthers could make a run and get to Sunday, that would be a first in MVC postseason tournament history.
Now, Gary, I've never been more excited to ask you this question, but what are your go-to spots in St. Louis?
I'll tell you what, there's some great ones. I like to go down onto Laclede's Landing. There's some tremendous eating places there. There's an Italian restaurant there I really like. Hey, but I got to tell you, Todd, I'm really disappointed. When we went to Valparaiso, the timing didn't work out for us to go out with the team for their team meal, and they went to Pesto's. Is it called Pesto's?
I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, they said it was one of the best road eating places they'd been at ever, that it was just fabulous, and we missed it. So we ended up going to a place called Wings Etc. or something for supper. We missed Pesto's, but I tell you, the other thing, there's some great eating places at the down at Laclede's Landing. There's a buffet at the Lumiere Casino and Hotel that's just tremendous. Last night I spent some time at Ozzy's Burger Bar in St. Louis. So there's so many great places here. We do have a Ruth Chris Steakhouse right in our hotel at the Hyatt Regency at the Arch. We have to do that one night while we're down here. So, I mean, you got so many great selections. It's just, you just flip a coin and pick one.
So did you go with the wings or did you go with the et cetera?
I actually went with the et cetera that night.
I don't know if I would have done that.
Yeah, I think it was a bad call.
Gary Reima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers. Let's keep this thing going down there in St. Louis for a couple days. We want to hear you call a few more games. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. I'm not ready for this season to be over. I hope the guys aren't either. And let's see if we can't have some fun here in St. Louis for the next couple of days.
All right, we appreciate it. You can hear Gary right here on KGYM. And Panthers, as we mentioned, drawing that 8-9 seed. First game out of the chute tomorrow at 6 o'clock. They'll be followed by Missouri State and Valpo, the 7-10 game. Porter Moser and Loyola, the number one seed, waiting on the other side of the bracket for the winner of Evansville and UNI. And then if you get to Saturday, you're looking at the winner of the Drake-Bradley game. So
you know how we were talking about Iowa winning their last game and improving their seed, but also getting a tougher draw?
Yeah.
That's exactly what UNI has done. If they stay in that 10 spot, they I think get a more favorable draw, possibly getting the number two seed in the second round, which would be SIU. Like he said, SIU has just lost to Evansville by, 30 points? And that's a much better draw than facing Evansville in the first round and then going on and facing Loyola in the second round.
If you're eating at a place and its name is Wings and Etc., would you order the Etc.? 319-366-1600. Hawkeyes and Fighting Illini underway, hardly standing room only at Madison Square Garden today, the mecca of college basketball. Let's just put it this way. Not a whole lot of Big Ten fans praying at the mecca right now, but Kyle's going to give you your first look, in-game look, during our big board update, which is coming up right around the corner. Tickets to WWE's Road to WrestleMania on the line tonight for the 6 o'clock showdown. 7 questions in 60 seconds, and those tickets could be yours. Very excited about this. We're going to be chatting with Becky Lynch tomorrow on the program. She's on the card, as is the new day. A lot of Hawkeye football fans will be excited about Ituri Ewan, a.k.a. Big E, returning to Eastern Iowa. And we'll talk a little bit more about WWE over the next couple days, and especially tomorrow with Becky Lynch. Plenty more to get to today as we keep an eye on Madison Square Garden and the Hawkeyes Big Ten Tournament underway. Back with more of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
You know that Iowa City is the epicenter of wrestling. Now it's time to show the world. The 2018 Freestyle World Cup is coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena April 7th and 8th. This is your chance to see not only the best in the United States, but the best in the world. Team USA will lay it on the line against the top 7 wrestling countries in the world in this team competition. For ticket information, visit WorldCupIowaCity.com or call 1-800-IA-HAWKS.
Have you been to the Fieldhouse lately? Yeah, the Fieldhouse. You know, the one and only Hawkeye Bar in Cedar Rapids. The sports bar where the food never takes second place. The famous happy hour that everybody loves. That's the one, the Fieldhouse. Bring your buddies for lunch this week. Stop in and grab a table or order online at fieldhouse1stav.com. Give your lunch hour a shot of black and gold pride at the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and equal housing lender.
If you're a Hawkeye basketball fan, do you like what you're seeing now from Iowa, or does it just make you more frustrated than you already were coming into the game? 319-366-1600. Hawkeye is on an 11-0 run right now. They're up 15-5 on the Fighting Illini. They're playing defense. They look good. Granted, it's early, but to me, frustrating to watch, because had they played with this intensity all season, maybe they're not playing in this game. But we'll keep our eye on Madison Square Garden, the opening game of the Big Ten tournament underway. The Missouri Valley tournament kicks off tomorrow, as we mentioned with Gary. It'll be you and I in Evansville, and then Iowa State will head to the Big 12 tournament next week. And then, well, beyond that, here's what I can tell you. We're going to have a bracket challenge here at KGYM again this year, brought to you by Imon Communications. Grand prize, $500, winner take all. And we're going to try to come up with ways to make this interesting this year, because I don't think we're going to be watching any of the state of Iowa men's teams in the tournament, unless Drake's what, the 4 seed, right, at the MVC tournament? They steal the auto bid. Outside of that, I think it's going to be pretty slow going for, but people are still going to fill out the brackets. People are going to want to win the money. People are going to want to watch the basketball games, especially on Thursday and Friday, the opening days of the tournament. It's just, we're not going to have that local flavor this year. You won't have 7 people in your office pool taking the Hawkeyes to the Elite Eight.
I hope not.
Or Iowa State to the Final Four.
That would be a lot like drafting Deion Sanders in your fantasy league.
Football or baseball? I'm kidding. 319-366-1600. Dargan Southern of the Iowa City Press Citizen is going to join us to talk Iowa women's hoops and Iowa baseball at the top of hour number two. We can't close the book on hour number one without a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one. Here's Kyle.
The Iowa men are trying to get a little taste of March basketball, and in order to do that, they need to beat Illinois today at the Big Ten tournament in New York. Failing to do so would mean no March basketball for the first time since 1938, but so far, Iowa rattled off an 11-0 run on its way to hold a 17-5 lead. The defense has been actually good so far, but a couple things to keep an eye on. Iowa has committed 5 turnovers already, and Isaiah Moss had to leave early with 2 fouls. Iowa baseball routed Cornell College yesterday 15-1. Freshman Trenton Wallace got the win in his first career start, going 3 innings with 4 strikeouts and no runs allowed. 7 of the 9 Hawkeye starters had hits, 8 of them scored runs, and 4 guys had multiple RBI, including Justin Jenkins and Lorenzo Elion with 3, and Tyler Cropley and Brett McCleary with 2. Iowa's going to be at UAB for a weekend series beginning on Friday. Former Iowa receiver Don Shumpert was a grad assistant on the football staff last season, but he tweeted this morning that this would be his last day with the program as he moves on to be an offensive assistant with the New York Giants. Iowa State couldn't get a win for its 3 seniors on senior night last night, falling to Oklahoma State 80-71. Donovan Jackson hit 5 threes in his final game at Hilton Coliseum on his way to 17 points with 5 boards and 4 assists, and Lindell Wigginton had a team-high 20 points, but a shorthanded Cyclone squad could just never pull within striking distance. Tonight after the show, if you can believe it, there's no high school basketball, so keep it here as we throw it to ESPN National Programming.
You better believe it. Speaking of Iowa baseball, they picked up a commitment today from a pretty intriguing prospect out of Arizona, Jacob Henderson. He's an outfielder and a pitcher, and a couple websites said that he was the best uncommitted high school prep in the state of Arizona in his class. So Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes looking far and wide for talent. We'll tell you a little bit about Jacob Henderson coming up. maybe even with Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press Citizen. He joins us next.